Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Cold out there, but it's warm in here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's a pleasure to have you with us. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And that's snowman Luke Moore.
You always do that one when it's snowing outside.
Hi, everybody. I think I'd normally do it on live shows.
Do you? Okay.
Although I'm sure I have
one
done
one for
before.
The purists.
although someone did tweet me quite nicely the other day saying that I'd used an intro before and then told me when I'd used it, and it was about a year and a half ago, and I thought, well, that's poor. I think it was over 3 years ago, I could be forgiven.
Was it right that you hadn't used it before?
I just assumed he was right.
Okay.
Does someone have a spreadsheet for your intros?
I hope so. No, I don't hope so. I hope people have got much better things to do with their lives.
Could be that guy going through your bins.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to get that scene too.
People with much better things to do, like watching the Premier League.
Yeah. What else is there to do?
Tasty.
Yeah.
It was a tasty weekend of action on and off the pitch.
Yes.
In and out of the dressing rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, 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 yeah.
We discussed him taking it to the trenches. Didn't expect it to go that way.
Before we get into this, I just want to make this absolutely clear for everyone in the room, which is the three of us.
None of us are doused in milk.
So Manchester City beat United at Old Trafford, playing better football, breaking a winning run record, and then celebrated by pouring milk over Jose Mourinho's
Oh.
If that's even nearly true, which at time of recording we don't know because the charges haven't been brought and it's all conjecture at this point, I love it.
Yeah. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good milk pouring. Mm. Exactly. As
and,
I say.
And it all stems from apparently Mourinho complaining that Manchester City were celebrating too disrespectfully.
Yeah, the music was too loud apparently. Basically, like literally noisy neighbours. Oh, turn that down!
Yeah, because Jose always... As far as I'm aware, I think I read this in one of his autobiographies, presumably he's got them out. He only ever celebrates with a firm handshake while looking into the opponent's eye, saying, well done, I'll take personal satisfaction from this victory, and now I'm going to move on.
Apart from...
At the Nou Camp. Yeah. That time.
But the thing is, though, him celebrating at the Nou Camp was one of my favourite celebrations. Yeah. The way he ran off.
I really enjoy it when he does stuff like knee slides and run down the touchline because I don't really have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
But then he just makes himself look a bit silly when he nails his colours to that and to the Herrera penalty in quotes, which was a ridiculous thing to say. He was really scratching around for anything to grab hold of, wasn't it?
Very daft. I feel for poor old Mikel Arteta, ended up blood streaming down his face, apparently. You don't want that.
He was photographed paparazzi'd in the car today, just before we came on air, I think.
Still bleeding.
With a hand over his face while driving, which is dangerous.
Yeah, it's strange.
I know, eh? At least he's taken the opposite approach of David Beckham. Because Arteta's covering up the wound, isn't he? Whereas Beckham was like, you see this?
Get the Alice band out.
Yeah.
I know. Arteta, I mean, quite an inoffensive chap, I would have thought.
Exactly,
But then I suppose we the reports that we have at the time suggest that there was 20 people, players and staff involved.
Loving it.
Yeah.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Absolutely. Well, imagine if... Because, we've talked about this before in the context of the Premier League, and we've always referenced the NFL and the US, where they have cameras in the dressing room and all the rest of it. If we had cameras in the dressing room for this, even though we sort of said, you said you've been present in a football dressing room in MLS.
New York City FC.
Yeah, and you didn't think it was that great. And you wouldn't like to see it rolled out.
I didn't think it was appropriate seeing men coming out the shelves.
But this is appropriate, you know what I'm saying? We want it.
Drone cams and everything.
Yeah.
Every conceivable angle.
Well, at Manchester City, are they not? Is it Man City where they're going to have that in the tunnel?
Yeah,
and you're going to be there. So that kind of thing will be seen.
Yeah,
presumably, and if any of our listeners have the kind of money in which you've got a table or whatever it is at that place lined up, get your iPhone out or smartphone and get recording.
It's a real shame for us that Donny's away doing his charity work that he doesn't like to talk about and can't make it today because he's textbook Donny.
Absolutely.
We have to tide it over for Thursday.
That's right.
He loved this. We'll give him a little soapbox for it.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola looks so bored of Jose Mourinho, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. After the game, it's just like you could just see him shrugging off question after question. Kevin De Bruyne looked really angry as well. And actually, match of the day itself was quite tetchy, generally.
I think De Bruyne seems to me, I saw what you meant with De Bruyne, and to me it comes across that he's really, really focused.
He seems
almost brusque. Because he was asked about whether he thought that meant City had won the title, and I'm sure we'll come onto that in a little bit. But he was like, "Oh, I'm not really thinking about that. I don't care about that." And he's done it a couple of times this season where he's just dismissed questions like that to one side, which you can sort of understand.
It's a daft question to ask a footballer, isn't it? I mean, and it doesn't even really generate any headlines. You wonder what the point of that kind of question is, because you know what they're going to say.
Imagine if he said, "We've got no chance," or even though Mourinho conceded that the title was probably over, now you could even if you dress that up and say, "Oh, you know, it's just kidology and all that sort of stuff." Mm-hmm. If you're having to resort to those sort of tactics, if it is a tactic, which it probably isn't, because United are 9 points behind or whatever, or 11 points behind now. Having to resort to that tactic before Christmas isn't a good look.
The only time somebody that I can remember off the top of my head gave away their feelings on the title and that they felt they were going to win it was Ferguson, when he was obviously in charge of Manchester United. And they'd beaten, Jim, I'm afraid you'll probably remember, when they beat Arsenal 6-1 at Old Trafford.
I don't remember it.
was it a January game?
It's quite early in the season, from what you were saying.
Yeah, it wasn't in March or April or something. Yeah. And obviously Manchester United hammered them, and they had a decent lead. And Ferguson said at the end of the interview, well, I think it would be impossible for Arsenal to catch us now, which is quite a big thing. And it was only them and Arsenal that were going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then so the interviewer thought, oh, good. He's answered this question that we always want answered. And they said, oh, so do you think that the league title's yours? And Ferguson realised probably what he'd done. And he had a little smile and went, no, I said it's impossible for Arsenal to catch us.
Double dig. After a 6-1 shellacking.
Yeah.
That still stings now.
Mourinho would have been fuming, wouldn't he? That's not the way you celebrate.
Yeah. I think the thing with Mourinho that's really interesting at the moment as well is you can see how much it's winding him up, that Pep Guardiola is just, he's just dicking on him, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just absolutely
dicking on him.
I might be reading too much into this, and you guys may not have even noticed it. But there was a part when they met before the game started and they shook hands. Guardiola, I think, came onto the touchline a little bit late, and Mourinho was already there, and they shook hands. And as they shook hands, Guardiola turned right to go up to his little bit where you sit at Old Trafford.
Yep.
And Mourinho gave him a clip round the back of the head in like an affectionate way.
Yeah.
But it looked like he did it quite hard. And I thought, wow. Oh, is he doing that on purpose? Guardiola didn't react, to be fair.
I thought Mourinho was a little bit more pally with Guardiola, as Mourinho goes.
Mm. Yeah.
Considering, at the end of the game, he gave him a proper handshake, and he wasn't dismissive. It was only afterwards. And then one or two people have suggested, is this classic Mourinho? Was it Danny Murphy or something? I can't remember who said it. That is this Mourinho then just deflecting all the stuff away from the performance?
But that's that's what I was getting at just earlier with the Ander Herrera penalty point.
Yeah.
He will regularly, and we know he does this celebration type stuff. He did it with Antonio Conte when they beat him quite easily, and he said you shouldn't be doing that after four goals or whatever.
Yeah.
But what he regularly does is he'll try and grab hold of some sort of narrative or storyline that he can pin his quotes to, so then the attention will be taken away from the fact they've just been beaten at home. Or whatever it is. And this time, it seemed to me like he was trying to do it with the Ander Herrera thing. And if you watched or listened to what he actually said, he said the referee had a brilliant game, he was really great, but he made that one mistake, and I feel sorry for him because he had a great game. Which wasn't a mistake. No one here presumably thinks it was a penalty.
No
one I've seen writing about it has argued that it was a penalty. So it just seemed a little bit desperate and a little bit, almost a bit tragic, actually.
Well, he admitted that Man City are a very good side. Now, that's painfully obvious. But then he said, they were a bit lucky and all the other little sort of digs and whatnot came out, or not digs, but the classic sort of manager saying, "Well, and fair enough, he's not going to hold his hands up and go, yeah, I don't know how they didn't score more than two. We were soundly beaten." He doesn't want that. It sends out the wrong message. So you can understand, Jim, why he's saying some of these things.
Absolutely. I mean, because the reality is quite bleak now, isn't it? Being 11 points behind, kind of out of it at this point, especially with the amount of money they've spent as well, because that will come back at him at some point. And, this is Mourinho's second season when he wins the league. Do you know what I mean? That's going to be a worry for him, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I quite like the fact that Edison, the goalkeeper, confronted Mourinho when he marched up to the dressing room, apparently. He looks the part, Edison. Made a great double.
He's fantastic. And I think the one thing that would probably be, obviously, it's going to be disappointing anyway to lose against your local rivals who look like they're now going to go on to win the league. And that's hard to... I don't really like... We've been doing this show for a long time, and I don't really like saying that so early in the season.
No.
What I was doing on the way in was trying to think of reasons why, trying to be a bit contrarian. It was very difficult to do so. The only thing I could think of was that Man City had a good bit of luck against... Well, not luck, but they had a good break against Liverpool where Mane was sent off. Pogba was missing for this game at the weekend.
Well, there's been
They're playing Spurs, aren't they? And Alderweireld and Sanchez are both going to be missing.
Well, there's been a few games recently that they've scored in the last minute.
Exactly. And I'm clutching at straws there. But what I was just going
to... Got to go away to Everton. They've only dropped points. they could only draw with Everton at the Etihad. What will Rooney and co do?
But I think if I was a Man United fan, I would be thinking, the worst thing about this particular game is that we weren't able to impose ourselves on the game in any way.
Yeah.
We had no real... I mean, I think they had a couple of chances, and they had one... I mean, the first real chance that I can remember was towards the end of the first half. It was a Manchester City-dominated game without them having 100
especially
chances.
Especially the first half.
Yeah. They didn't have as many chances as Arsenal did, for example, but they still dominated the game. And if you're at home against your local rivals and you're both vying for the title, really, because it could have been 5 points, couldn't it, if United had won... to not be able to impose yourself at really at any point or in any way on the game would have been the most disappointing thing.
Yeah, and Lukaku again looked isolated, didn't he? It's not.
Yeah,
and I think to be fair to him, the service wasn't great, was it? He had a lot to do on his own up there, which is a tough old.
But
tough old ask.
I have a bit of sympathy for Lukaku more generally because the way that they play against big teams, United, makes it hard for him to impose himself. And you're right, Jim. And Henri pointed that out in the Sky Sports coverage, didn't he? When he could get a word in when Noel Gallagher wasn't talking, of how Lukaku, how isolated Lukaku was and how difficult City were making it for United to be able to counter-attack. But that aside, this has dogged him for a long time now. And have you listened to a few Everton fans, they'll tell you that he used to do a bit at Everton as well. Mm-hmm. And also he used to sort of thinly veiled sort of chat about the team not really pulling their weight for him and at Everton and how he wanted this move. And he's always been quite ambitious and wants to play at the highest level and stuff. But he's not going to sort of dispel any of these sort of notions with that sort of performance.
Yeah.
Especially given he was at fault for a goal or two as well.
Yeah. They missed Pogba.
There's a different team with him in the side. Yeah. So that's 14 wins in a row, isn't it, for City, which is a record.
Yeah, the
do you think they could go the season unbeaten?
Yeah, they could well do. I mean, it's on, isn't it?
I was saying to a pal of mine yesterday morning, if they win at Old Trafford, I've got a feeling they might go the whole season unbeaten. Mm. But you never, it's so hard
but then,
to do.
But then would it be very Mourinho-like? So Pep Guardiola and Man City have got the title wrapped up by, you know, the 1st of February or something. And then, or whatever it could be. And then they're going unbeaten. I don't know when the next game is against Manchester United, so forgive me there. But it would be very Mourinho-like if Man City have won the league, it's all wrapped up, but then Mourinho stops the unbeaten season and celebrates like an absolute madman and goes, you know.
I mean, that would be even more pathetic, I would say.
Yeah, but it would be peak Mourinho, that kind of thing.
I mean, I think they play each other around the start of April, so that is possible.
It's very possible. Mm. So, Mourinho as well, talking about him being a little bit pathetic potentially, well, he was certainly when he said, one expects Man City to score great goals, something like that, not two disgraceful goals.
Oh, come on.
Disgraceful goals. Yeah. They weren't as scrappy as been made out, were they, at all?
They were fair. You had the ball over the line.
Yeah, the first one was poaching on a sort of set-piece situation where Ashley Young had played him onside. Yeah. And,
what's he meant to do? Like, knock it out for someone to smack it in from 40 yards?
Yeah. No, hold the hands up. No. That's going to be the new not celebrating a goal against your former team.
We're not doing
what
that.
What did you think about old big Noel Gallagher in the studio, Marcus?
I
really like that.
That's peak Marcus, that is.
I sort of think round pegs and round holes, really.
Yeah.
With that kind of thing.
I don't really think that Sky Sports, and I don't mind Noel Gallagher, really, but I don't think that Sky Sports can bill this game as the biggest Premier League game of the season, blah, 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 and all the rest of it, and then put someone who's not even a football
player. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. As much as I, you know, as you know, I like Noel Gallagher and so on, it shouldn't really be there.
I'd have liked to have seen you in there, Spelzy.
Or
Donny.
You've probably isolated yourself by saying that, but
I'm in the minority.
I very much appreciate it. Eric Cantona said ahead of the game that Pep Guardiola's side give him a hard on.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that we don't need to hear.
If I'm still getting a hard on at his age, I'll be happy. Mind you, he's probably not that old, is he, Eric Cantona? He retired very early, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, but he'd be knocking 50 or maybe
I think he's 51, yeah.
Is he really? 50,
yeah.
He does look good.
Yeah.
He looks very good. Guardiola is very pleased that his brand of football seems to be working in England, and he's absolutely beaming, isn't he?
Well, he's got a bit, I think he probably has a bit of a bee in his bonnet about that.
And rightly so, although you can't ignore the fact that he spent so much money. You know, if you can go out and go, right, we'll have the best player in that position, and we'll have that one and so on, then you should do. And I think that's one of the things that Manchester United fans are worried about, that you heard the chants again, attack, attack, attack,
in
the stands. They've had an awful lot of money. There's a great tradition of playing a certain type of way and so on. But Guardiola's is working. I did enjoy him whipping off Mangala's sky blue Santa hat.
Yeah,
he wasn't having any of that.
Strange one, wasn't it? I think we've said he's an underrated madman enough that we can now just say he's a madman, I think.
Pep Guardiola, yeah.
Just such an intensity in that man's eyes.
Yeah.
If he did anything else, you'd be frightened of him.
Yeah,
you don't want a bin man with that sort of dedication to his job. You know?
And on the Guardiola management point, I mean, the talk was that people were suggesting that you couldn't implement that type of football in the Premier League. And he's sort of shown that you can.
Yeah, very
but,
much so.
I know what you're saying about spending all the money, but I mean, Manchester United has spent, in the last two seasons, Manchester United has spent, over £250 million. So it's not as though they're not spending to keep up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I understand the money may be coming around in slightly different ways, and United have got more of a tradition recently in winning things in the Premier League, and traditionally more of a big club recently, if I can get away with saying that. But they are both still spending astonishing amounts of money.
Yes.
So that I mean, for Mourinho, and Mourinho is turning out football that it, you know, objectively, or as objective as you can be about this type of thing, isn't as good to watch as what Man City, are playing.
Well, we do know that Big Sam Allardyce's style and brand of football works in the Premier League. And it's already working for Everton.
Straight out of the box.
Big Sam's just instant dismissal for everything. It's amazing.
My favourite was when...
Ball.
No, don't need it.
No.
Not, get rid.
I want it.
Klopp was furious with the, with the penalty decision. We will have our thoughts on that, no doubt. And you could see him, he was sort of biting his lip when the interview was asking him about that. And it cut, the way it was edited on Match of the Day was brilliant. And it just cuts to Big Sam going, well, moan all you want, but it is a penalty.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I mean, the contact knocks Calvert-Lewin over, so that's fairly straightforward.
I can see, this might be a sort of slightly controversial thing, but Danny Murphy and Alan Shearer in the Match of the Day studio are very quick to say, well, it's a penalty.
Mm.
I wonder if it was a foreign player who they think's maybe a little bit lightweight going down under that. Mm. I wonder if they'd have said it was a penalty.
Interesting angle, yeah.
Because I saw it and his hands are there, but it was a soft one for me.
It's a soft one, but there's nothing in the laws to suggest what's soft and what's hard, if I can say that.
In politics and football these days.
Certainly not in any magazines I've read. but the issue with Klopp, I think, is he's... I sort of wanted to call him a bit of a bully, but I'm going to stop short of accusing him of that, because what I actually think it is that he's so emotionally led, and the type of character that he is, we have to remember that managers are given or are expected, and I think that's probably right on balance, but they're expected to be giving these interviews straight after a game.
Yeah.
And if you're someone who's so emotionally led like Klopp is, if they win the game in amazing fashion, he's on the roof, he's hitting the rafters, he can't believe how lucky he is. Mm-hmm. But what actually happens when he feels like they've been, or he feels aggrieved that they've had a decision go against them, or they've not won a game they perhaps should, which is definitely the case in this game.
Oh yeah.
He actually comes across as a bit of a bully, and it's not the point that it was a controversial decision. But the point is that he needs to understand that other people can rightfully see that as a penalty. It's not it's not the biggest robbery of a decision ever seen. Yeah. No. So he shouldn't be then accusing people who wasn't a dive. No, but the point, I guess it's a convoluted way of me saying that the interviewer, he was quite disrespectful to him and said, oh, I only like talking to people who know about football, which is not a really acceptable thing to say.
Yeah.
And I think he's at the risk of becoming a bit unpopular if he carries on with that sort of thread.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think with Klopp and some of these managers who come out, you know, on Match of the Day, they were talking about, you know, are they deflecting attention away from their own failings? Actually, you could even say that Klopp's probably so annoyed that his side didn't capitalise on some of their chances.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mane one was obvious when he should have squared it. I think he wants to kind of vent his anger, and he thinks, well, he's not going to stand there and go, well, Mane should have bloody done this. And one of my other players, and it just comes out at the referee because it's an easy target. You're not going to get any ramifications unless you say something really
And he comes out against saying about someone in the media as well.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the interviewer, was it Patrick Davison?
Can't remember.
Said, a few of our pundits in the studio who have played football and who have managed lots of games said they thought it was a penalty. Klopp did that real like, weird passive-aggressive thing. Oh, yeah, you're all right, I'm wrong, sorry, it's my fault sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, but I think you should take that as literal, forget the tone and go, oh, well, cheers, I appreciate your humility, and then just move on.
Thanks for the clarification.
I think that's the way to deal with that.
Liverpool's 23 shots to Everton's 3, 80% possession to Everton's obviously 20.
That's outrageous.
88% pass success to Everton's 50%, and 18 completed dribbles to Everton's 1. Mm. Big Sam's like, what's your point?
Yeah.
What's your point?
Same so goals, much. Mate. Yeah.
He
same
said
goals.
That Everton had mastered their opponent. Nothing. I mean, the enormous slice of luck helped.
Didn't he do that? Was it at West Ham when they might have got a good result against Chelsea? And Chelsea missed about 45 shots.
Mm.
And Big Sam
Mourinho's
was like,
Chelsea, was
might
it?
Have been. And Big Sam, after the game, was literally a bit like, well, you know, tactics paid off. Well, they didn't really, did they?
Like a bullfighter.
Yeah, I know.
I remember something vaguely about that. But what a great moment for Wayne Rooney scoring again.
He enjoyed
at
that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's having a big box office season, isn't he, Wayne Rooney? I'm very happy for him.
I am. He's their top scorer with 9 goals this season. And what I loved about that penalty, and it's the type of penalty that I've always thought that one or two players, I'm surprised players don't do it a bit more. Well, the way Rooney runs up, the way he approaches the ball, let me get this right, if you're looking at the goal, taking the penalty, he'll always run from the left side of the ball. And he would always often whip it into the goalkeeper's bottom right, and goalkeepers got wise to that, so then he started opening his body, putting in goalkeeper's bottom left. He would always go bottom left, bottom right, never top corner or anything like that. Right. Now, often when somebody drills it down the middle, you can sort of see it coming. He side-footed it down the middle.
Yeah.
But the way he shaped was very much like it was going to go left or right, but he side-footed it with power. Great penalty,
nice insight. My issue around Liverpool, I suppose, with this game, and a lot of fans will echo this, I think, is the rotational thing. I think Klopp is so desperate to avoid that sort of January, February they had last season where they really struggled. I mean, I know they picked up towards the end of the season, but Mane went away to the African Cup of Nations. They had a lot of games throughout Christmas. They looked absolutely knackered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's trying to avoid that. And the players he left on the bench... obviously Coutinho, Firmino, and I don't think Sturridge was even on the bench, was he? I know he's not been great, but so I do understand why he did it. But then you look at Solanke starting up front, he's never scored a senior goal.
Looked a gamble.
Play for England, mind.
Never
scored a senior goal. So I was with a Liverpool fan yesterday who he saw the team and he was a bit like, I understand why we're doing this, but I wish we weren't doing it in this game.
Because with big Sam Allardyce coming in, And thinking, right, I know how to stink the place out and get a result.
Absolutely. I mean, resting Firmino and Coutinho, it's too far.
But Jim, they should have won the game, though. But look at all the stats.
But also, Jim, they're playing West Brom at home on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, West Brom have been in terrible nick. Mm. You could rest players for that game, you know?
Yeah, indeed you can. Sorry, Jim, you were going to say.
I was going to say, I think actually it's perhaps he's wanting to bed Oxlade-Chamberlain in a bit more because he's barely featured, isn't he? He's not started much.
But that's a fair inclusion, though.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, he hasn't been playing him. So sooner or later, he's actually got to give him a little run, hasn't he, to see how he works in this team.
But I think the big ones, leaving out Firmino and Coutinho.
Oh, hugely, yeah.
When you knew that they were going to defend and you need somebody to unlock the door.
I mean, he has featured. I just think he's come off the bench a lot more than
he's played wide a little bit as well.
But I think he's in there to fight for a place, isn't he? So Klopp's giving him that chance now.
It's good because he made that move so he could play through the middle every game. Yeah. So it's really working out well for him.
Go for trophies.
At least
he's got Champions League football back, though.
It's been great for, it's been great for him, it's been great for Liverpool, and it's been great for England. I'm sure we can all agree.
Indeed. Newcastle and Leicester City produced an entertaining game at St James's. Hosolu scored!
Yep.
He actually scored.
This was the game of the weekend for me, and Hosolu was always going to score.
Some point.
But Pete had a big pop at him on Thursday, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
It took him 4 minutes to score after that. So it was very enjoyable.
Yeah. It was a nice finish. Damari Gray got another. Starting regularly under Puel. I like Damari Gray. He's obviously got a lot of talent, and I think a lot of people rate him quite highly. Just that little bit of consistency, but just being let off the lead a little bit by Puel.
Yeah.
And he's scored a couple of goals in the last couple of weeks, I think.
The thing I like about Gray is he never relents, does he?
No.
He keeps up that sort of pace and that kind of drive and determination throughout the whole game in every game. He really does, and he's not shy with it, is he?
No. Iosi Perra scored an own goal.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Do you see how gutted Okazaki was? Because I think he felt he was about to score the winner, and then it was nipped off him, and it went in, and he was a bit like, yeah, we've scored, but I wanted to get that one.
Striker's own goal is a rare beast.
It is.
A beautiful thing.
I felt for him because he really broke his neck to get back.
Yeah.
But that's three wins in the Premier League in a row for Leicester now. Puel started very, very well.
That's right.
And the thing I really liked about them, I thought they were good anyway, and I thought they were the better of the team, and I'm sure you guys would probably agree. I think Dwight Gayle's goal was particularly fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But they scored the winner, or Perez contributed the winner, shall we say, with about 5 or 6 minutes left plus injury time. Not sure if you guys noticed, but Puel and Leicester's like game management, to use that horrible phrase, after that was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, Newcastle didn't get a sniff. They're at home in a massive stadium. The atmosphere sounded really good.
Newcastle have lost their scent of smell, though, haven't they?
a little bit. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think Puel and Leicester's a nice fit, actually.
I agree with you. I think that's right. And I know that Leicester have probably played Newcastle at a good time because they were in a bad run, off-pitch stuff and all the rest of it. But you would expect a team playing against a Leicester team who aren't exceptional. I mean, we know they've won the Premier League, as we're contractually obliged to say every time we mention them.
So have Blackburn Rovers.
But they're an okay team.
Yeah.
And you think Newcastle will be gunning for it. If you watch that back, if you haven't got anything else better to do, they do not get a sniff after that. The game management was exceptional. And I think that shows that Puel's a really good coach.
Very much so.
They're up in eighth now.
Yeah. Know, 23 points.
Puyol came in because they look like they might be, you know, in a relegation battle, which is an incredible turnaround. But can we talk about his padded three-piece thing?
Yeah.
They're popping up, aren't they?
He's got like a small puffer jacket under a jacket. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's this.
Are you a fan or are you not a fan?
I'm not a fan, no. It's the cut of, you know, a three-piece.
We're going to a Christmas party on a boat this week. I shall be wearing that.
Yep.
Yeah, right. I'm going
to
wear
I look forward to it.
Jim and I will be in a snood, just in one snood between
and
both
nothing
of us.
Else. Yeah. We're in nothing else.
And Jim's going to have a hot water bottle on his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which apparently everyone's going to say the game's gone.
Yeah. And we're going to throw him overboard. but yeah, Leicester are... sorry, Jim, you'll be fine. 23 points, up in eighth, they've had some tough games, as we mentioned earlier on in the season, because that's when they happened. I love the fact that Burnley are on the same points as Tottenham up in seventh. But Leicester now, they're a point above Watford, and Watford have had a great season, of course. And often all these little chats are relative about where teams are. But Leicester, they could be fighting for, dare I even say, Europa League spot or something like that. Yeah. The way that they're playing and the way that Puel has come in there and they're scoring goals again.
Their big players are in good form as well. Riyad Mahrez looks like the player he did two seasons ago.
Well, the transfer window's about to open, that's why.
Well, there is that, but he doesn't literally look like he did two seasons ago with that hair of his.
No, he's made a bold choice there, isn't he?
But on your point, what have they got in their team? Well, if you look at the team that played against Newcastle, they've got a lot of power in their team.
Pace.
They've got a lot of pace.
Creativity,
and a bit of creativity.
They've got the elements there.
It depends on whether they can keep hold of Mahrez, because him and Gray, I think, are probably key to them scoring goals.
Yeah. They've also got versatility with Okazaki as well. Very sort of different player from Vardy. Obviously.
That's right. Yeah.
And you mentioned, I know we're strapped for time, but you mentioned a bit about Burnley being on the same points as Spurs. Mm. I'm going to sort of use this as a convoluted way to mention that I tipped Stoke for trouble this season.
Yeah.
And they started off like sticking two fingers up at me. Uh-huh. Tottenham battered them. Against at the weekend, Tottenham were fantastic. They could have scored 100 goals. Stoke have got this habit of when they lose, they sometimes look like they're going to lose big.
Yeah,
And they're dropping like a stone now. They've conceded the most goals of any team in the league. Mm-hmm. And they're only 3 points off relegation now. So you never know.
And don't worry, by the way, I've got my explanations ready for the end of the season to justify some of the things I've said.
And your predictions.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just quickly on Newcastle, they've not won since October. They've lost six of their last seven. I love the fact that Rafa Benitez is now urging Mike Ashley to invest in players in January because the club will be less valuable in the Championship. He's literally saying, Mike, do you not understand?
Get your head out of that fireplace and sort this out.
So is that the curry house? Yeah. His phone's off. Can you just put a call out? Old school, like a wife calling the local guy.
1970s wife. Yeah.
He's there, is he? Yeah, he's there again. I thought he was. There, marvellous stuff. And before we go to an ad break, ladies and gentlemen, the 12 rambles of Christmas will soon be upon us. It's very exciting stuff, this, Luke.
Yeah, on Wednesday from midday, UK time, if you're an international listener, we start number 12 in our 12 rambles of Christmas, which is a countdown of all the big... I suppose the 12 defining topics in football since we first switched on our mics back in 2007. It starts on Wednesday at midday with number 12. It'll be revealed on the day, and then they are coming out daily with our number one footballing moment being revealed on Christmas Eve. So don't miss it out. Don't miss out. If you're subscribing to the show, you'll receive them all automatically in your feed. If you're not subscribing to the show, you're a maniac. Subscribe now. First one on Wednesday, number 12, and we're counting them down all the way to Christmas Eve.
Marvellous. We'll be back after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Welcome back, as promised, ladies and gentlemen, to the Football Ramble. It's now time for correspondence with Luke Moore in the absence of Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, I've got to do it. Jim's on the highlights of the week because we've got no Pete. I'm going to do the emails. Yep. It's much easier than Pete was making out, to be honest. Yeah.
You just open them, don't you?
Yeah, just find them and read them.
Just pick a few.
Yeah, so I don't know what he's playing at. Spending 5 minutes to open up a laptop. Right, so who have we got up here first? We have got Patrick J. Woods. Hello to you, Patrick. He says, hello, guys. I'm a new listener to the show and a Norwegian living in Japan. I noticed some interest around the event when a Norwegian footballer filled the cup, so to speak, after the cup final in Norway recently.
That was with his testes and knob.
It was. He says, I just wanted to point out the reason Alexander Andreasen mentioned apologising to the king in his response is that the trophy he won is called the King's Cup.
Ah.
That's why. So it's actually his namesake. So Andreasen feels like probably that he's disrespected not only the trophy, but the king as well.
Right. He got cupped by the king.
He did.
Or the other way around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who's up next? Alistair Cold. He says, hi, guys. New emailer here, but I feel like I can contribute to this topic on missing goals during a football match.
Okay.
Well, let's see if he can.
Yeah. All right.
Alistair says, during a Swindon Town versus Bristol Rovers game back in 2010, I managed to miss every goal Bristol Rovers scored in a 4-0 win. The first two I missed going to the toilet. I was young at the time and full of fizzy drinks. And the third one I missed just before half time while I was with a relative going to get some food so we could beat the queue. And the last one I missed turning around and talking to my friend behind me. Apparently the fourth goal was a screamer. I have still never seen it.
There's your back.
He said, I'm too upset to watch the highlights.
Oh.
Good luck finding highlights from a Bristol Rovers Swindon Town game in 2010, Alistair, but thanks for that.
That'd be the first thing you'd want to do, wouldn't it? See the goals you missed?
Well, apparently not. He's a sensitive flower.
Yeah.
David Holmes, finally from David Holmes. Hello to you, David. He says, also on the subject of missed goals, if you weigh missed goals based on the importance of the match and the consequent cost of the ticket, mine ranks quite highly. World Cup 98... semi-final, France versus Croatia.
Oh no.
I was taken to the game by a relative who lived in France. Thought I ought to get him a drink at half time as a gesture of thanks. Obviously had to queue for ages, and we only realised the game had restarted when we heard the roar that greeted the opening goal. Don't know who scored it. Still never seen it.
There's a theme developing. Yeah, people are too traumatised.
Most of the people in the queue had run off to watch the celebration, so we thought we'd nip in and get our drinks.
Yeah.
In for a penny. And he said, then came the second roar as Turam equalised. At least we managed to stay in our seats for the winner. Of course, that would have been Davor Suka scored the first goal.
Yeah, for Croatia. I think people, are they coming to us saying, we don't know who scored the goal, can you please tell us? Are we just some sort of agony, aren't we?
It was Davor Suka, David, and Turam.
No, we should lie. It was Robert Prozinecki, wearing his Portsmouth kit.
And Turam scored
the
winner.
3 years before he signed for them.
The goal you did see, David, would have been Turam scoring the winner, of course.
Yeah.
There we go.
Marvellous.
If you want to email, get in touch, show@thefootballramble.com. More exciting news later with Jim in the highlights of the week.
Indeed, yeah, we look forward to that. David Moyes, Jim, has improved West Ham, it would appear.
Moyes' boysies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see him smiling, isn't it? Looks weird.
Jim, you're going to have to start retracting this thing about him being the ferryman.
Well, I mean, you keep pinning it on me every week.
I know.
Week.
Well, you did say it. Is he on the ferry, but he's just got lost? He's not quite caught to the other
maybe
side.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, dead river to cover before the end of the season.
That's yeah, true.
So we'll see.
You also said that people shouldn't vote, didn't you, Jim?
No, that you think of someone else.
I did enjoy Moyes' opening comment in the post-match interview, as he was very, very happy. He just went, oh, what a great result for us. And I thought, you deserve that, yeah, David.
Damn right, he does.
he really does.
They were so much better, weren't they? The simple fact of putting in that effort was great. I think they had 30% of possession, but they still restricted Chelsea to two shots on target. I know they did have a lot of shots, but a lot of them were sort of relatively speculative.
They did a number of them, and they defended very stoutly. And what I love is Moyes is delegating, obviously, certain tasks, utilising the talent that he's got in his playing staff and his coaching staff as well. And he's even getting the best out of Stuart Pearce. Because did you see...
not easy to do that.
No, but did you see that time-wasting from Pearce when the ball was kicked over to the... You know, it came near the West Ham dugout and he just got up and launched the ball into row Z and went off sort of
what
smiling.
What are you going to do? I'm the assistant. Yeah, exactly. Can't do anything.
Send me off.
Some of the fans, I think, were even giving him a little ripple of applause. Like, that's wonderful stuff.
That's hilarious.
Well, David's getting the best out of Stuart.
On that, can I just add further weight to that claim by saying... I listen to this game on the radio. I like to keep it old school sometimes.
Oh yeah.
And when I looked at did a little bit of research afterwards, there's certain things I'm looking for in a West Ham 1-0 win over Chelsea. Let's say I found a few. Six bookings, five of which came in the last half hour. Yes, I love that. A combination of time wasting and rotation of fouls in the midfield
area. Beautiful.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Tick that box as well. It's lovely stuff from West Ham,
That's a bit... They need a bit of street wisdom.
Absolutely.
And Bilic, you know, was acting like he'd had a silver spoon in his mouth the whole life. You know, they didn't have that about them. Which is strange for Bilic, actually, because that's one of the things that certainly as a player, you know, he did a little bit. And so he was involved in that Croatia-France semi-final.
Yeah,
he got Laurent Blanc sent off.
Did he not get...
Laurent Blanc got sent off because he sort of hit him in the face, but it was a bit of an overreaction from Bilic.
To say the least. But I do believe... I think Bilic got involved in the pylon for Suker's goal in the semi-final. I think he was on the pitch.
Ah, yesterday. But anyway, we're talking about West Ham and therefore not Bilic.
But it's funny that I would like to have been a fly on the wall when David Moyes said to the West Ham team, you know, if we want to beat Chelsea, we are going to have to run. And then going, oh, what?
As far as I'm concerned, you can put all your medals.
Yeah.
We run in training.
Antonio Conte. Knackering. Antonio Conte conceded the title as well this weekend.
Yeah. He did.
Anyone else want to do it?
It's literally...
Wenger won't have.
No, he wouldn't. He would never do it. Wenger would never do it.
He knows better than that. You'll have Wenger and maybe Big Sam going, it's mathematically possible.
The only manager who doesn't concede the title is Arsene Wenger, and he's the only manager who never wins it.
I love it. I absolutely love that. Arnautovic scored a lovely goal. And that's crucial. Moyes has been critical of Arnautovic and one or two of the other players, saying we need more out of them. And Arnautovic has responded with such a lovely strike. And he reckons that Moyes' no-nonsense approach has helped them. Mm. And it's what's needed. And I think, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves. West Ham, they're still not in a great position. But this win is huge for them. And make no mistake about that, of course. And
said last week, Marcus, we said that what they need to do is put themselves in a position that if Chelsea leave the door open ajar, they've got to take advantage. And absolutely did that.
If Antonio had been a bit quicker with his passing, he might have put in Arnautovic for a second as well. They did a really good job on them. I think they were helped quite a bit by Bakayoko tackling himself at one point.
Masuaku. Get the number 10 on his back. The footwork from that player. He looked magnificent on the ball at times. I thought, don't put him at the back. Get him further forward, for crying out loud. Adrian started for the Hammers and they kept a clean sheet. Is that a coincidence?
We got an email from someone saying, do you think Joe Hart's going to have to go on loan somewhere? He's already on loan.
Yeah, but do you know what? Actually, Moyes has been quick to say something about that because obviously Hart will want to get to Russia next summer.
Yeah.
The only keeper, as far as I'm aware, off the top of my head, with playing experience at a tournament for England. So that might be a consideration of Southgate, all joking aside. But,
The other thing on the other side of the coin to that...
Yeah, go on then.
I understand what you're saying, but on the other side of the coin, just to that point there about Joe Hart, is that he's just not very good.
Yeah.
You know.
It's such a shame for Hart, because
Jeff Hurst got experience at a tournament.
Yeah.
But he's also in his 70s. Uh-huh. So he's not going to pick him on that basis.
I think you've been a bit churlish there.
All right, fair enough.
But but Moyes did say, we won't stop Hart's loan deal at West Ham. We won't finish that, so then he can go out on loan and get football elsewhere. That's not going to happen, you know.
That'd be mad, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Robert Snodgrass.
He won't get picked anywhere else.
Robert Snodgrass is out on loan from West Ham to Aston Villa. His nose was put out by David Sullivan on Twitter, as old Sully said in a recent interview that his kids begged him not to sign Snodgrass.
Oh, was it Sullivan who said that?
Yeah.
I was hoping it would be goal so we could have a bit of a DG at the end.
Well, I'm sure you can. Yeah. He probably retweeted it with quoting it just saying DG.
Yeah.
But that loan move to Villa could become a permanent move now.
Yeah. It's a bit out of all of that.
It is. Especially, you know, it's a player out on loan.
Yeah.
Do you think Sullivan forgot that he was still a West Ham player?
Maybe. Golden Sullivan's kids are very, very actively involved in West Ham, aren't they? They're always sort of tweeting stuff that kind of is treated as like breaking news.
I think Sullivan's grandson, particularly, is able to break a lot of the news about the club. Yeah, I don't really know why that is.
Yeah.
Because they're a shambles, mate, aren't they?
But they got a win. It's a bit worrying for Chelsea, though, that, because they did look pretty toothless, Jim. You said that they restricted them to only, two or three shots or something.
Yeah, like three on target, I think it was. But they look leggy, don't they? And I think Morata had a shot late on that he should really have done better on. Mm-hmm. But again, it's testament to West Ham's commitment that they just, you know, denied him the time, and I think he panicked a little bit. But yeah, they do. They just look a bit, as you say, toothless compared to last season. A little bit flat at times. Like they're just not going to. You can see them losing another couple of games like that this season.
Yeah.
It's not right, is it? There. And if you listen to old James Horncastle on the Continent, which is out every Wednesday, he thinks that old Conte's being lined up for the Milan job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that happening because he keeps saying he's going to go back to Italy very soon.
Keeps saying he doesn't want to do it anymore.
He's lining himself up. Yeah. Milan don't want him, but they're not going to argue with him.
But they got Gattuso.
Yeah, that's right.
A lovely time.
Who can we get who's even fierier? So when Conte turns up, they'll be quite relieved, actually. Yeah. I think it's a wonderful piece of work from Milan there. But, you know, good news for Chelsea is they've drawn Barcelona in the Champions League. Moving on to another prominent side that play in claret and blue. Did Barcelona play in claret and blue?
Yeah, you sort of say so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, of course, West Ham do, but Crystal Palace...
They call them the Blaugrana, don't they?
Yeah.
No, right. Crystal Palace isn't claret, is it?
No, it's
straight up red.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But the Christian Benteke, he buggered things up, didn't he?
Oh, didn't he just?
That's like Selhurst Park.
Laziest penalty I've seen. Just like... Almost looked like he took it with his eyes shut.
Well, if he'd have taken the penalty with as much force as he did by grabbing the ball off the taker who should have taken it, then he would have scored, presumably. And Roy Hodgson had to speak to a disgruntled fan at the end of the match to explain that Benteke hadn't been told to take that penalty. And that's the bigger picture for Benteke. He's putting in Roy the boy in an awkward situation there. And everyone else at the
club. I wonder
club.
If they suffered from Spironi being the captain and not being able to sort it out. Because I was saying to you guys before we came on air, I remember Roy Keane taking the ball off of... it was mentioned on the radio, and I looked it up. Taking it off Andy Cole. And you need a sort of captain to really impose himself at that point.
But some of the pundits were saying that Milivojevic should have said, no, I'm the penalty taker.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah.
Very much so. He
scored one with some aplomb, by the way, early on in the game.
And Benteke's missed three of five, I think it is. So I mean, like, Benteke... it's not like there's not a good reason to not have him on penalties. Yeah. That must be maddening as a striker, but it's what it is.
If you're 4-1 up in the last minute, then fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a really important game. And I don't think they've lost since... Palace haven't lost since Hodgson's first game, I don't think. So they're on a bit of a run.
They've drawn a few games of late, yeah.
Exactly.
So they are picking up the odd point.
They would have needed they would have obviously loved a win here.
Oh, a win would have been fantastic. Terrible. Against the fellow side that are down there.
Yeah. Exactly.
So they you know, Bournemouth at the end of it would have been, you know, obviously relieved with that penalty miss to get a point. But
again, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall in the dressing room when they went in afterwards.
Yeah. Even if he scores, you're annoyed with him for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's selfish because he's actually thinking of himself rather than the team. Because if you look at Benteke's performance earlier on in that game, there was a couple of times where he may have laid the ball off, but he was clearly trying to get the goal. And you think, strikers should be selfish, blah, blah, blah. I actually don't go in for that.
Mm.
I think any player on the pitch should be able to weigh up the options of what's going on. Weigh up your percentages.
Make the right decision in the moment.
It's all about making the right decision. And Mane made the wrong decision. You know, when he's, you know, if Klopp had have said, oh, well, he's a striker, so he should be shooting. Actually, he was on his weaker foot, and if you square that ball, it's a goal. Simple as that.
And you won the game, probably.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So Benteke was made a few wrong decisions for my money earlier on in the game. And then he thinks to himself, right, I want to score. I want to get back going. No. Get the man who's taking the penalties, as I say, who's already stuffed one in the top corner earlier on. But, you know, it wasn't to be, and it's pretty shambolic. But Jermaine Defoe, though, on the other hand, was scoring. And the second, contender for goal of the month, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shades of Van Basten!
I love his honesty as well. He said he was surprised that it went in afterwards. But that's that's that experience that Defoe has, isn't it?
Was his reward for that goal a boarding card for the party plane?
Oh.
Was it a boarding pass, Marcus?
I don't know. I mean, it gets the old mind ticking away, doesn't it? You know?
Here's what I can do once every 10 years.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted, I think it was a journalist or a reporter in the Mix Zone after he was interviewing Defoe, and Hodgson went past him and went, oh, still scoring them, sort of thing. And, you know, is it a little
compliment? And Defoe say, you didn't pick me for the World Cup, did you?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
But Hodgson's not in charge anymore, Jermaine. Gareth is. We are going to talk about the Championship, ladies and gentlemen, after this.
Muy rápido, muy, muy, like a Ferrari.
Well, welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget, the preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Friday. How did our better get on, Luke?
Very, very close, but no cigar. Yeah. He went for two draws. If you were listening, you'll remember he went for a draw in the Everton-Liverpool game and the United City game. And
if Lukaku would have put that one away.
The Liverpool-Everton game, sorry, I should say. And he came very close, but sadly it was no cigar. So sad commiserations to you, Noel Hankinson, but we need a new better for next week. So do get in touch, show@thefootballramble.com, if you want to get yourself in that hot seat for that elusive hat-trick and an ORE, an Order of the Ramble Empire. Not been achieved yet.
No.
You might even get your name up on the wall in the studio as well. Because it's never going to happen, so we can promise whatever we want.
Yeah, in vanishing spray. Yeah,
yeah. Chris Foy's going to come in and do it.
Let's talk about some of the Championship stuff. Sunderland got a surprise draw away to top of the table Wolves. They're looking a bit more...
Not a win, is it?
It's a home win that they're after.
I know, yeah, it's true.
And I think they'll take an away win as well, mate.
Any win's a win.
Well, they didn't get one, so they can't take it.
Well, they've got a win against Fulham at home next weekend to avoid going a whole calendar year without a win at home.
Oh dear.
I mean, I'd love to see the tactics in that game that Coleman deploys. I mean, Fulham love to keep the ball, but they won 1-0 against Birmingham, but they lack a bit of cutting edge.
If they do win it, I mean, do they celebrate or not? I mean, it's just a bit depressing if they celebrate.
Oh, surely you celebrate a win after that long.
But I mean, would they celebrate it in any other way than they would normally a win? Because it's a bit tragic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Because the next question is going to be, why are you celebrating so vociferously?
Yeah.
Because we haven't won for a year.
don't do a lap of the pitch.
No. And also, what about this? What's the latest on the fella who didn't take a poo in the stand?
Oh, right, yes. He's sort of indirectly come back into the fray. I mean, if you're going to do something like... If you are going to drop your trousers at a football match and get photographed in the process, you may find that it doesn't blow over after just a weekend. Some Sunderland fans are still angry with that young 17-year-old fan who's alleged to have jobbied in the stands, as they think that he cost Sunderland their City of Culture bid, which they lost out to Coventry.
That's just astonishing.
I don't think that's true. Well, but I love the suggestion.
Even if that conversation was happening in the corridors of power.
Yeah.
He's got to be very proud of himself.
So we've got Sunderland and we've got Coventry. They seem to be the front runners. What's going on in Sunderland at the moment? I'll just type it into Twitter. Oh, hang on a minute. That kind of uncultured approach is beyond saving.
Yeah. I saw a quote from the guy who did or didn't jobby in the stands, and he says here, it's just not all you can ask for is to be a part of the conversation. I made that up, didn't I?
Of course.
My favourite moment from the Championship this weekend, if I may, was, I don't know if you guys saw, but Kemar Roofe scored a hat-trick as Leeds beat QPR. And Ian Holloway was up to his old tricks.
Has he said something?
It's not this usual wacky Ian Holloway stuff.
Sacked in the morning? I don't think so.
No, it's in a way a lot more snide than that.
Oh, right.
The quote is, well done to Kemar Roofe because he made the difference today. Right, fair enough. He's got a hat-trick, so it's fair enough to mention him. He then goes on to say, but would you have noticed he played in that first half? That's the difference. And he's not normally very good in the air either.
What? Jesus.
Having a pop? I mean, he's not very good in the air. They get your defenders to defend him.
What a way to knock his confidence.
Oh, no.
You're good today, but you're normally rubbish.
Yeah.
This is a fluke. Hate yourself.
It's just, he's got nothing. And he thinks, I'll just try and throw some sort of mud at the train leaving the platform or something. You know, it's just gone.
He scored a hat-trick against my team.
Yeah, but he's normally not that good. But you made him look good then.
Yeah. You're
like mugging yourself off. Deary me. Nigel Adkins, the Hull manager, the new Hull manager, taking over from the big Slutsky. He got off to a winning start, which was good to see. I loved the Hull go from Grzycki, whose first touch to set himself up, but perhaps a touch fortunate that nobody pounced on that. But it was a fine strike, though, a beautiful touch, though, the way he kind of spun. And Seb Larsson rolling back the ears with a superb free kick. I say rolling back the ears, he's only 32.
Yeah, and he'll be able to score free kicks like that in his 50s.
It's still lovely to see, though.
Seb Larsson being 32, that surprises me. I would have thought he was younger than that.
Do you think that Hull plumped for Nigel Atkins because they've just gone for the most boring manager they can think of?
Well, he got a win.
Yeah,
but
Nigel Atkins is going to win awards like least likely to fall out of a tree. Anyway, Slutsky isn't going to win that.
No, and they're still reeling from Phil Brown, aren't they?
Yeah,
they need some wallpaper.
Those aftershocks are still going.
Yeah. Atkins will do all his team talks in the dressing room, the traditional sod. But Hull, they were maybe on
the physio's table,
perhaps.
Yeah, because he was a physio.
Oh, yeah, of course he was. Yeah, they were on a 7-game winless run under Slutsky, so that win takes them 6 points above 22nd spot, which is currently occupied by Birmingham City. Redknapp's legacy.
Yeah, no, just I was googling Redknapp for today.
It's
my daily Google.
Yeah,
it was because someone messaged us. I didn't put this in the emails because I had a few already, but someone messaged us saying, "Have you seen what Redknapp's up to now?" And sent a link of Redknapp. Apparently, he's doing like guest appearances on Mediterranean cruises.
Oh my goodness! Wow. That's class.
I think it happened earlier in the year, and we must have missed it. But anyway. So I was just Googling about it, and I saw a Google thing. I saw a result from Redknapp saying, "I'd have taken Birmingham to the Premier League." It's like, well, you managed them.
Yeah,
they were terrible. You quit, and now you're saying that.
Was he not sacked at the end of it?
I can't. Well,
he left.
Let's say he parted company.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But the joke's on them because they would have been in the Premier League.
Yeah. God, yeah. Why didn't he say that at the time?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. They could have kept him on.
Why did he do anything to facilitate that at the time?
Oh, I love that. Love that. Right, it's time for highlights of the weekend with Jim.
Yeah, hot war,
as we're going to call it. And this is a particularly special highlights of the weekend, Jim, of course.
Yeah, it is, because one of you is going to win a telly.
Yes, we've not got Going for Gold this week because Pete's not around, but we're going to do highlights of the week instead at this point in the show, and the winner, our favourite highlight of the week, is going to win a Toshiba 55-inch 4K HD TV. So strap yourselves in if you've submitted a highlight of the week this week. It's about to get interesting.
That's bloody fantastic.
Toshiba offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution. No detail, no flick or kick of the ball will ever be missed. Enjoy 24/7 access to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. With this TV, you can also access last week's shows on demand with Freeview Play. For an authentic audio experience, it also comes with a subwoofer to project the bass sound. Woof. Don't just hear, feel the roar of the crowd. If you want to be in with a chance of winning this TV, you better have submitted a highlight of the week.
Yeah.
Jim's going to read them out now. Our favourite is going to win one.
I tell you what, if someone submitted a highlight of the week and they're listening to this now, they're thinking, bloody hell, 55-inch?
Stop the train.
Never seen one so big before.
Stop the train.
Going to get all my woofs subbed. It's going to be great. So we'll start off with Lee Smethurst.
We'll do them and then you pick your favourite and then we'll see if we agree. How about that?
All right.
We'll sanction it.
Yeah. All right. So Lee Smethurst says, Roy Hodgson not being very angry whilst telling any reporter how angry he was. I did enjoy that.
He just can't do it, can he? No. I remember in the darkest part of his England days, he was just inwardly fuming. You could tell he was like really stressed, but he never really articulated
it. I think in the dressing room, I think he could go.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think one or two people have suggested such a thing. Ex-players and journalists.
Okay, Niall Ward says, simply, a Jose Perez is wonder strike. We can all get on board with that. Edward Mancy says, Stuart Pearce booting the ball out of touch.
Yeah.
And can't score from Rose Z.
Well, Spelzy's already got his colours now to that one.
Indeed. Gerard Moran, again, one we've already discussed. Guardiola instructing Mangala to warm up, then yanking off his bobble hat. So many mixed signals.
Yeah.
It's true. Liam Albert Hawks says, highlight of the decade, surely has to be Mourinho finally literally tasting sour milk.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Mark Hill says, Man City keeping the ball in the corner for about 15 minutes at the end of yesterday's game.
That was very good, yeah.
Thought Ashley Young's head was going to explode when Kevin De Bruyne smashed the ball off his legs for a 15th throw-in in a row. Can only imagine Jose's inner fume. And the final one, this is from Kyle Chester Marsden, and I do like this one. Being an Everton fan, it was having my next-door neighbour, a Liverpool fan, run out to me at half-time on Sunday to shout, Kloppo, Kloppo, only to fall flat on his arse whilst I was clearing the driveway of snow. Needless to say, I had the last laugh. And I haven't seen him since.
There you go.
Last laugh, rather.
Who's that from?
So that is from Kyle Chester Marsden. And I that's my one, I reckon.
Yeah, I like it. You like that one as well, Mark.
I agree. Because he's done that one on his own.
Yeah.
You know.
He's not mentioned stuff that we've already talked about. Uh-huh. That's the thing.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Stop doing that, guys.
Yeah. predict what we're going to talk about and then don't mention it.
Can I have a highlight of the week? Oh, no, well, the telly's gone.
I just need to do a bit of
admin. Oh, sorry.
First.
Yeah, please.
Carl, you need to email in show@thefootballramble.com with your details, your address, and all the rest of it. Show@thefootballramble.com, and we will get that TV out to you. Merry Christmas. Merry bloody Christmas.
Football.
Merry
yeah.
football. That's thanks to our friends at Toshiba.
Yeah. And now you can really lord it up over his neighbour. Go, get a load of this.
Yeah.
But do tell your neighbour about the Football Ramble in case they don't know. My highlight of the weekend was when Stoke scored a consolation goal with about 10 minutes to go and they were 5-0 down. One of the Stoke players, it wasn't Shawcross scored the goal, I think. One of the Stoke players straightened to the net, get the ball out.
Yeah.
Back up,
yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
That happened. I remember once.
0-0.
Once at Sunday League, I think at the team, we were winning about 7-0 and there was a throw in and one of my teammates. Mm. Went over to get the ball, and the guy from the other team wouldn't give it back. And he was, and my teammate went, "Well, it's your time you're wasting, mate," because they were losing. Yeah. And the guy just went, "We're 7-0 down." But yeah, what do you expect we're going to do? Yeah.
Love that, ladies and gentlemen. Right, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. Do not forget the 12 Rambles of Christmas, of course. Subscribe to the Football Ramble. You know, do that.
Wherever you get your pods.
Because then they will just roll into your inbox.
Into your internet pipe.
Yeah.
Your podcast pipe.
It's probably more accurate to describe it
from
like that.
Midday on Wednesday and every day up until and including Christmas Eve, where we'll reveal our number one moment in the last 10 years.
I, from a non-biased point of view, I'd say they are bloody good.
Well, you're on it and you wrote them. So is that really that biased, is it?
Yeah. Well, I stand by what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, would you agree, Jim?
Yeah, why not?
Good enough for me. Good enough. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure having you with us. We shall see you on the continent if you listen to that, and obviously on the preview show on Friday as well. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Futures.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.